Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Victor Family Victor Marco Radio Show!
Hey folks, it's time for the show!
Welcome!
And now, here's your host for all this craziness, Jack Hatfield.
Your screen does not have to be adjusted. If you are looking at this, we are in the process of renaming this show the Jack Hatfield Show. Because I am your host, Jack Hatfield, and more and more people are tuning in and listening in. And we think that by just renaming it Jack Hatfield Show and knowing that I pretty much talk about whatever the heck I want to talk about, we are just going to go on a roll. Yeah, something just ran in here and stabbed me to breathlessness. Woo, all right, that was awesome. That really, really, really was awesome. So what's happening, ladies and gentlemen? This is the Jack Hatfield Show. It's going to be very hard for me to make this transition. Formerly known as the Fix the Family, Fix America Show. But we're hitting so many topics that we may spin off here and there and everywhere and all kinds of places. Yes. Wow. And so we want people to know who's here, who's doing the show, and that's me, your humble host, Jack Hatfield, right here. Coming to you, I don't know when you listen, but a lot of people do not listen live, but that's perfectly fine. And if you don't, then good for you. It doesn't matter as long as you listen every week, because you get the news that you're not going to get anywhere else. You might read about it, but you're not getting the facts. And, of course, you can befriend me on the Facebook area. And you can follow me and get those inane 140-letter messages at twitter.com. And so we have lots of things that you can do to get in touch with me. That's right. So, welcome again to the Jack Hatfield Show, formerly Fix Family, Fix America. And we've got tons and tons of stuff that have come up of interest that shows you that there's some stuff going on incorrectly. We talk about a mother losing custody of her children. I know that doesn't sound normal, but it's even more abnormal when you find out why. It's going to drive you bonkers. Then if you're sent home from the hospital and you know you're still hurting and you get sent home again, what's the worst thing that could happen to you? Yes, exactly. And then Tylenol makes the news again. We'll get into that. And we have, there's a thousand jokes about a two-headed child, but there is now currently a real two-headed baby, a real twin born with two heads. We're going to just wish them well. We'll go ahead and talk about them right now. And conjoined twin girls with a single body. They actually, amazingly enough, they weigh 9 pounds, 20 inches. They have two spines, okay, two esophaguses, so they're both breathing down their own separate tube. But the problem is every other organ is shared. So it is quite impossible for them to be separated where they would both live. So that's a parental nightmare that just is amazing right there. So we wish the family of the two twin girls born with one body, wish them well. And then big survey says, not a Richard Dawson Family Feud moment, but there was currently a, remember how this there, I don't know about you, but you're hearing a whole bunch about bullying and a whole bunch about we need to stop bullying. Is that really the biggest thing in the world that's most important? No, I don't think so. But there was a survey said that come out and said, how many kids are at risk using social media? What that tells me is how many parents aren't doing their job. We're going to talk about that. Then the question in this particular instance was, do cooking shows make you fat? No. Calories and excess food and sitting on your tail make you fat. I'm pretty sure we've heard that before, right? And then really crazy baby names, from Hollywood stars and singers. And then I have to question why the governor of Florida had to sign this bill. I have to question that. And then we'll go through, if we got time, top 10 anti-aging commandments, because we want everybody to look and feel as long as young as they can. We're then going to talk about a father that has launched men-only birth groups. Men-only birth groups, that's right. Then we're going to talk about a miracle baby, just refuses to die. Beautiful little girl. Then we're going to talk about if you're taking a heart attack drug, you know, when do you take them? When is the best time to take them? And then, of course, love handles. Most people hate them. Some people love them. Well, we'll find out which one you should be doing. And then my regular listeners know coconut is good stuff, right? Right. Well, how come the secret is the stars are all using this substance, but the rest of the medical world says, oh no, fat, saturated fat, saturated fat. And our mother of the mother of the week, talking about a tragic story of a woman who had to tell her husband up to 3 times a day he was dying. Very bad, very bad. So all of this and more right here on the Jack Hatfield Show. You, me, lots of things going on. We've got time. We've got the channel. You're here. I appreciate it. Let's get to it in a few minutes. Jack Hatfield Show. Hope you had a happy Mother's Day last year. So I'd like you to remind you to go back and listen to last week's show, where we had on a mother that's trying to raise $100,000, and we are helping her raise that money. And you can find out what she's doing at any given time and how the child is doing, Aaliyah, by going to www.earlyjourneyfoundation.org/Aaliyah, spelled A-L-Y-A-H. There is a blog that her mother, Phaedra, is doing every, well, not every day, but close enough to let you know how Aaliyah is and how they're doing. And on the right-hand side of that page, you'll see a CODA donation. That's Children with Organ, Children's Organ Transplant Association. That is the association handling the money to make sure that Aaliyah gets the crucial bone marrow transplant that would potentially save her life. So that is very, very important. I'd like you to tell everyone about it. Tell everyone you possibly can about that page and raising money for that. Just go ahead and put it on your Facebook status now. earlyjourneyfoundation.org/Aaliyah, A-L-Y-A-H, and tell them to donate a few dollars. I know it's tough for some personal economies, but the people who aren't worried about that and have a good personal economy, I'd like you to click on that CODA donation and go ahead and type in $50,000 and get her halfway there. That's what I need from you tonight. Okay. Now, this article came up and is just a little too amazing for me to think about. Okay? So, Florida. Florida. Okay? Is passing a bill, all right, banning, prohibiting, stopping doctors from asking patients if they have guns in their homes. First off, how and why, when you go in and say, my arm's hurting right here, doc, would he have a reason to say, you know what, do you have any guns in your house? You got any ammunition in your house? Now, a congressman proposed this legislation following an incident in which a Florida pediatrician told a mother to find another doctor when she refused to answer questions about guns in her home. Okay. Now, listen to the arguments. You've got people on one side saying, why do doctors need to interfere with patients' privacy like that? Why would they need to know that? Could it simply be psychiatric doctors need to know this? Does a family doctor need to know this? I guess that question would need to be asked. Does a family doctor really need to know if you have guns or ammunition in your home? Right? Now, the American Academy of Pediatrics, of course, as you can guess, that anything that has the American whatever is out to help you, right? Yes, of course. Anywhere, they're saying that this bill will limit pediatricians' capacity to do what they do best, which is compassionately and effectively care for the children. For the children. They go on to say, the AAP, the app, because unintentionally, continue to be the leading cause of death in children older than 1 year. Pediatricians play a key role in injury prevention by providing anticipatory guidance to parents during office visits to help minimize the risk of injury in a child's everyday environment. Let me ask you a question. Can a doctor say, you know, guns will kill your kid without asking if you had guns? And are unintentional injuries really the leading cause of death? And you notice they say over one, right? Because we all know what the number one cause of death in children less than one is, right? That's right, prematurity. We talk about that a lot here. We all know, at least my regular listeners know. About my own premature child. Now, if accidents weren't the number one killer of kids 1 to 4, wouldn't that be horrendous? Here's the top three causes of death by age group. Okay? 0 to 1 years, guess what? Prematurity. Then sudden infant death syndrome, and then all other conditions associated with prematurity and low birth weight. Top three causes of death from 0 to 1. That means everything associated with birth. The act of birth, whether it's early, late, complications, can kill a baby. Got it. 1 to 4, the baby's out. Everything's going along fine. They've lived a whole entire year. What disease would we not go crazy over if it started killing children 1 to 4? How could that be even quietly looked upon if suddenly all children from 1 to 4 were dying of polygon X disease? Wouldn't there be this humongous cry of, why aren't we fixing that? Yes. Yes, there would. So that's why accidents listed are all kinds of accidents. And as you can guess, children from 1 to 2 are really running around grabbing pistols. Just a guess. So, really, from 1 to 2, the accidents that are actually occurring are the parents' accidents. Now, from 2 to 4, crawling around, getting all up into everything, there can be accidents of a parental's problem of leaving poison out, say. Right? Could leave some poison out. That's usually not a good thing. So that's accidental ingestion of poison. Okay. Now let's go on. And then the other developmental and genetic conditions that were present at 0 to 1 kill more babies from 1 to 4. That's the second most cause of death. Here's the disgusting part. The third leading cause of death of 1 to 4 is cancer. From 5 to 14, the number one killer is accidents. Ladies and gentlemen, that means, okay, that they're not just talking about 1 to 4. They're talking about 1 to 14 now. Guess what the number two killer in 5 to 14 is? Cancer. Guess what the number three killer of 5 to 14 is? Homicide. Murder. What are you talking about? Now, from 15 to 24, that means 0 from 1 to 24. Guess what the number one cause of death is? Accident. Accidents. Number two, homicide. Number three, suicide. Now, I don't know about you, but that is shocking statistics. Shocking. All right? But here's the problem. The accidents that they try to say the doctor should be able to ask you about a gun, the number one accident of children that kills them is vehicular. Vehicular accident. Road traffic accident. Now here's another interesting tidbit, ladies and gentlemen. I just want you to grasp the facts before you hear some app tell you that it's for the children. There are twice as many deaths in the 0 to 1 than there are in the next 13 years total. So I want you to grasp this. Prematurity and everything that has to do with birth kills more children than the next 13 years combined twice. Wow. Then the death rate rises rapidly following puberty because of the large number of deadly accidents, homicides, and suicides. Does that mean you should limit puberty? Why isn't the AAAP, excuse me, that was too many A's, AAP, why are they sitting there saying, hey, hey, we should be feeding our kids soy. There'll be no puberty, except for the girls, which will be faster. So anyway, back to this article. The doctor, a pediatrician, asking the mom and dad, do you have guns or ammunition in the home? Really, it really has nothing to do with you running in. Let's say you have the flu or a broken leg. When you walk in, the pediatrician or doctor says, hey, you got a gun? Do you own a gun? Isn't it kind of shocking that this bill even had to pass, that it had to be what it had to be? Is that not... There's something stunning happening in the world today, and that is... There seems to be a massive divide and that divide is becoming more and more blatant of intelligence. And as we point out on this show, this show is more for the children than anything else around, aren't we tired of hearing it's for the children just to get something accomplished that doesn't make intelligent sense? There had to be a bill passed to stop doctors from asking parents if they own a gun. When, if you think about it, you got to go, why did they do that in the first place? It has nothing to do with medical care. It has nothing to do with what the doctor's doing. Psychiatrists, that makes sense, does it not? If they feel that someone could endanger themselves with guns, or they feel that someone is going to go crazy and go shooting someone, that's pertinent information. We're not talking about being ignorant here. But we are talking about when you go in with a broke leg, doctor goes, you got a gun. It's on a form. That's crazy. Crazy that that even needs to be an issue. All right, going to play a little music for you right here on the Jack Hatfield Show. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back in 2 seconds. Trancing. I think I stared off for a minute. Sorry about that. Anyway, thank you for coming back to the Jack Hatfield Show, formerly known as Fix the Family, Fix America, where we go through 4+1, positive fathering, make a difference in mothering, pull through parenting, and finally reveal your success. The final part of this is disease and the diet. Now, we're going to talk about something Major. Think of a mom right now. Think back to what we talked about last week, where we had on a mother fighting to save her daughter's life. She has Fanconi anemia, and you can help her out by going to earlyjourneyfoundation.org/Aliyah, A-L-Y-A-H. There'll be a donation link on the right-hand side called CODA Donation, Children's Organ Transplant Association, and she needs to raise $100,000. So she really needs you to help her out, okay? Now, think of a mother like that losing custody of her children, all right? Tragic story. But I can hear you now. Maybe the mom, you know, did the bad stuff for this divorce. Maybe the mom's just not fit to be a mother. Well, the mom was fighting for custody of her children. I mean, been fighting. It's a bitter legal batter. Swing! Bitter legal battle that has included allegations of cheating and all kinds of other domestic problems in this month-long custody case. All right. So after their marriage fell apart, Kane Snyder and his wife, Elena, Kane and Elena sought to gain full custody of their children, Sophia and Bud, 11 and 5. Okay. The husband was moving to Chicago. Their home was in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. And because he is working over there in Chicago at Sears. Okay? All right. The battle's been raging. In the courts for a while now, okay? The judge, Durham County Family Court Judge, now you would think that the Durham County Family Court Judge, Nancy Gordon, okay, ruled against mom. Some of you going, shocking, but not amazing. Tell me the story. What's going on? Here's the big thing. Durham Court can't... That's about what we're doing right now. Durham County Family Court Judge Nancy Gordon ruled that Mr. Snyder, Kane, should get the children after a psychiatrist recommended that they should live with him. That's right. A psychiatrist said, this is the crazy woman. Now I can hear you now, see? I knew something was crazy here. You don't just take it away from the mom. Well, let me go a little further. The psychiatrist, the mind doctor, right? The mind doctor decided that the children should live with dad because of the deteriorating condition of the mother's health. Wait. So the mom, okay, let's hear it, Jack. You're going to talk about the mom's 500, 700 pounds, can barely move, the kids use her as a mountain. They have these big tents halfway up that they camp so that they don't, you know, have to go the whole way in one day. Anyway. Also, psychiatrist said, and she's unemployed. Look at her. You know, she has been working as a freelance writer and editor. That's right. That means her 700, 800 pound tail's just been typing on a typewriter. Wait a minute. Here's the problem. She's not 700, 800 pounds. You understand that? And she does work as a freelance writer and editor. Okay? She said that her abusive husband has actually attacked her verbally and mentally. And she's shocked. Now, Kane, the husband, left in August 2010 and disappeared, but then came back to get full custody earlier this year. So, you know, almost 6 months, daddy just leaves and comes back and says, I want these kids. And you're going, well, Jack, when are you going to, I mean, is she 900 pounds? I mean, what are we talking about here? She can't function clearly. The husband was abusive and abandons them, but yet the judge still gives the kids. Here's the problem. The mom has breast cancer. That's right. A psychiatrist, mind doctor, said you should give the kids to dad because mom is about to go through deteriorating health and probably not going to be here. Doctors do not know how long she's going to live, right? As is the case we have discussed so many times, you never know how long someone's going to live because you cannot legislate, activate, deactivate, or stop or create or change a person's human spirit. You have no idea what that human spirit is going to be like and what it will do. Sometimes the person doesn't even know. Now, the mother of these two children was first diagnosed with cancer in 2007, but her condition has worsened as it has spread onto her bones. Okay? Here's another interesting tidbit. Durham County Family Court Judge Nancy Gordon. Okay? Oh, by the way, this court case has been going on for 16 months. Durham County Family Court Judge Nancy Gordon has never been married and has no children. I can hear some of you now going, how is that relevant? It should not be relevant. Okay. In fact, it should be even better, because if you really wanted law to be law, you would simply have a robot up in front of you that would interpret the law as it is written and not make judgments from life. Is that what you really want? No, it's not what you really want, because that would not be the case with 90% of the court cases and their outcomes. But if that's not the case, then how can a woman, never been married, have no children, never have a family, be able to judge family court? Well, she's able to just take the law. Well, how is this taking the law? For 16 months, this cancer-stricken woman has been trying to save her children. The judge is trying to make theory work in this instance. Okay? She is receiving the treatment at Duke Cancer Center, so she cannot leave. She said her cancer is currently stable and not progressing, of course, but it is in two places. But it's because of cancer that you lose custody of a children? Really? Now, some of you out there are going, you know, maybe it's best if the children don't watch her mom die. I don't think you're supposed to make that call. The other half of you, or at least some of you, a quarter of you, are sitting there going, okay, how's a father knowing that mom's going through this tragedy simply decide to remove what could possibly be her only joy on earth? How does the father go through with this battle in the first place if everyone's sitting around going, well, she's going to die anyway? Right? If that's the prevailing opinion, ladies and gentlemen, okay? If the judge is sitting there going, is she going to die? Our kids don't need to be around when she dies, right? If the dad's going, I don't want the kids around her when she dies. If the psychiatrist is going, her deteriorating condition is causing her to die, if that's the prevailing thing, how can anyone just say, well, you know what, you're going to die, so we're just going to remove everything you got while you're alive real quick? Because you're going to die. Well, That would be an argument now in family court for anyone. So now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're about to break up, if you're about to have a divorce, look over at your wife or your husband, and in the court case, as you're going on and saying, I want all this stuff, you can simply say, it's because he or she is going to die. And the judge will look at you and go, what do you mean? Well, precedent has been set. We removed the children from mom because she was going to die. I state that he or she is going to die, so I would like everything now. There's no reason to wait. Let's just hurry it on up. How much intense hatred can there be for a dad to do this during a trial like this for mom? How much does your relationship have to break down for you to say, you're going to die, so I'm just going to take the kids and walk off? You know, this reminds me of the old playground when you're reaching puberty or you're a little boy and you're looking at the girls and they're older and a little more mature. And instead of saying you like them, you just tell them they got cooties. It's almost like dad's going, you know what? She's got cooties. So I'm going to take the kids away. We don't even have to discuss the fact that there's a Durham County family court judge, Nancy Gordon, that has no family, no children, making decisions. I see both sides of that argument right there. You want a judge that simply looks at law. However, this is not simply looking at law. This is simply making a judgment and going, you're going to die. I'm not doing them the best system of the children for because they love their mom or because they love their dad or because dad's better or because mom's better. No, it's because mom's dying. And for 16 months, daddy has said, you know what, I'm going to rip your heart out. You're going to die. Stunning. Absolutely stunning. What is it coming to? What is it doing? You're on the Jack Hatfield Show. We'll be right back after this. Talking about parents, instead of talking about two parents that are trying to rip each other's, well, one of them trying to rip the other one's heart out, let's talk about parents simply not doing their jobs at all. All right? Survey says, beautiful nod to Richard Dawson and the kissing of all the women. You couldn't do that today. And that's just wrong. He didn't mean anything by it. He was just kissing. I really love that show. They've had, what, two other hosts or three other hosts now, I believe. Show's still on. Game Show Network. Very good show. Very good show. A lot of fun. Anyway, survey says that there is 7.5 million kids at risk. That's right, at risk. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. What do you do when you're at risk?
Boo!
Oh, yeah, boo. Boo! If you knew there were 7.5 million kids at risk, wouldn't you do something? Yeah, you would. However, this is going to go over like a rock. What the survey said is there are 7.5 million kids under the age of 13 using Facebook. Despite the company's official prohibition, there are 5 million under the age of 10. That's right. And what they're saying is there's a risk because minors lack the experience or judgment to use a social network. And it raises the scary potential of sexual predators tracking down kids for the children. Shut it down now. We have to do it for the children. Why isn't the AAAAAP coming up to this and saying, what's going on here? Why isn't anyone getting upset about this? I can tell you why. Because most of the moms are going like, why ain't my 10-year-old daughter friended me yet? Here's the other sad, sad, tragic fact, ladies and gentlemen. A million kids were bullied on Facebook in the last year. Facebook, of course, recognizes that kids should not use the service and prohibits access to those under the age of 13. But Jeff Fox, technology editor at Consumer Reports, and a guy who obviously has too much time to sit there, says the age verification system is weak. It's too easy to lie about your age. Wow. Wow. Is this a serious issue? Well, Consumer Reports says it is. The survey says it is. It says that there are 5 million computers in U.S. households exposed to a virus. What? What? Oh, how did this even come up? The consumer, listen to this. They're saying it's not just about the children. It's also about protecting you. Because there is currently no computer condom. I swear I'm going to come out with that as an antivirus. The computer condom comes in a pack. You open it. You put the disc in. Done. Protected. Anyway, Consumer Reports goes, it's not just about the children. We're not just screaming children. We're also screaming there are 5 million computers that could be exposed to a virus. Oh, and since it's not about the children, we're just bringing up that virus thing. We're also going to talk about the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, COPPA, makes it illegal to collect. that. Do you know who Ross Ellis is? Neither did I. But he's founder of the child advocacy group Love Our Children USA. Didn't I tell you if it has America somewhere in there, normally they're really looking out for you? Obviously not Fix the Family, Fix America. That'd be a reason we changed the show's name. Love Our Children USA. Says that the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. Now, this was passed, ladies and gentlemen. The Children's Online Privacy Protection Act says in fact, in 2006, the FTC fined popular blogging site Zynga $1 million for collecting information about minors. But then it goes into cyberbullying. Yes, that's another problem. And what they're saying is younger kids aren't emotionally developed to deal with adults and teens who make hurtful comments. Consultant John Bambanek says the nightmare scenario is not for kids to flirt online or engage in instant message chat with strangers, but simply posting pictures. Predators can download the images and determine the child's exact location using embedded GPS data. A program called Creeper even does this automatically. Scary. Scary-o. Social media expert, all right, said parents should monitor children's internet access overall. Well, there's the first intelligent thing we've heard all this article. Have we not? Bob Gaines, a consultant with security firm All Covered, said parents and kids should follow basic Facebook protocol. Avoid stating your location or saying you're home alone in your profile. Do not reveal your exact age. Of course, make sure you know your child's username and password. He does not say, stop your child. And then, magically, all right, everyone using these services is over the age of 13. Magically. We should, if COPPA, all right, if Facebook broke COPPA and they are taking children, 5 million of them under the age of 10, 7.5 million under the age of 13, they are taking that information. Should they not be fined and shut down? Oh, no, no, no. You're not going to see that at all. In fact, you're not going to see anything bad about Facebook again for a while. Why? You're not making sense. I have people saying, you can't say this stuff. You have to say this stuff. Someone has to say it. This is hilarious. People in the studio are really reacting tremendously to this article. Oh, that's hilarious. All right, you're lucky. I won't even say it because it's time for Adele's Magic Minute. What is wrong with you people? Why can't you say stuff? What's the show for if I can't say stuff? God. It's true. They would probably knock on the door not 5 minutes after I said it. Sir, you're going to have to cut that off. you can't tell everyone our secrets. Let's just say what I was going to say was that you should start looking into the information that Facebook is giving away. Very important. Very important. And for this whole article, I just want to say the point is, it's not children that are at risk, ladies and gentlemen. If 7.5 million kids under the age of 13 are using Facebook, that's telling me there's 15 million parents suck. At a minimum. Could be more. Could be a stepdad or stepmom involved. And so it could be 20 million parents. What I'm saying is that if every kid under the age of 13 using Facebook had a parent, had a mom and a dad, and they're on it and not being looked after or even allowed on Facebook without parental supervision, the parents suck. This isn't a kids are at risk or we need to pass something for the children. This isn't some other... This is parents sucking. That's all this article is. The Facebook thing was just simply more information than you probably can handle. And thank goodness to some people in the studio that Adele's Magic Minute, the wonderful moments where this show gets class and I don't have to talk. It makes everyone in the studio happy. Adele, over in the UK, understands that if we fix the family, we fix the planet. And that is what it's all about. Here's Adele's Magic Minutes, the Magnificent Minute from the Magnificent Adele Omani.
Welcome to Adele's Magic Minutes. I'm Adele Omani, the UK's expert in energetic communication. And through these minutes, I desire to bring answers to all the questions being asked about bringing wealth, success, love, and happiness into your life and bring you an awareness that everything that comes into your experience and every opportunity that comes to you is actually there because you have created it, you have attracted it. Now, one of the biggest areas that people find difficult to allow things to be attracted to them is when they hold resistance. Now, we hold resistance when we allow ourselves to live in a lack of self-confidence, lack of self-belief, when we listen to social conditioning or generational conditioning, when we let others take control of our lives. And the resistance, what happens when I say resistance, is this is where we, in our physical bodies, have actually dropped to a lower vibration, that our body resonance is in a lower vibration to where our natural energy beings are, which is always in high vibration. And when that happens, we actually cause a disconnection. So let's put it this way. When you are in abundance and when everything flows to you very, very easily and effortlessly, you are in complete connection with your energy. You are aligned with high vibration. When you find in your experiences that everything you desire is not coming to you, and everything you desire, you seem to be getting the opposite, this is because you have disconnected from your natural high vibration. You have actually moved yourself into a lower vibration. And in low vibration, you cannot attract. You can only attract what comes on that vibration, because this is how the universe works. The universe will attract back exactly what you resonate. So all while you're in a low vibration, you will get experiences around the same vibration, whatever they are. So in order to be abundant and to have your wealth and your success, you must be vibrating out the same resonance. Now, the way to let go of resistance is if you imagine looking at animals or nature, but animals, pets, wildlife, whatever. Now, you don't see them fretting over how they're going to live, how they're going to get by today, where are the fields they're going to find themselves to sit down. All animals have a direct connection to their source energy. They're always in the flow. There's no resistance. They adapt to every situation. So when you worry, it causes resistance. And we need to take lessons from animals and from nature and believe in the process. Allow and let go. Enjoying every experience. That way, you will attract more enjoyable experiences to you. You see, whatever we've been told in the past, we are actually here to be magnificent. It is our natural state of being. We are here to create. That is why we are here. We are here to have experiences that are of our creation. And inside every single one of us is the ability to be an incredibly powerful creator. If we just tap into it, if we just connect to it. And in the work that I do, you know, this is what I'm doing. I'm waking up people. I'm, you know, bringing them out, turning them into peaceful warriors and getting them creating, because we are here to experience life at its fullest, and we are here to live our passion. We're not here to just get by and just wait for another day to finish. That's not living. So I want you to live your life. I want you to live your passion. And the best way to do that is to let go of that resistance and is to start allowing and believing in the process and just getting out there and living.
Adele Omani's magnificent statements give you a class in hours of speech and lessons in just a few minutes. That listen to that last part right there. We're not here to just get by. We're here to have an amazing life. We're here to take on the world and do what we need to do and do what we want to do. Very important. In fact, today, saw someone doing their job, doing stuff that they have to do. Every time someone comes in and asks for this to be done, they begrudgingly do it because it takes an awful lot of time to set up. But the outcome, the output, doesn't appear to cost a lot to the public, and it doesn't cost a lot. But the amount of time and stuff that's into it is way more than the cost of the output, in other words. Well, you watch this person do an awful, awful lot of work to create this product, and the person not appreciating how much work goes into it says that the end result is of poor quality. The problem is the poor quality is all the way back with some of the input that the customer was giving. I know this is hard to follow, but what I'm saying is, let's look at this. Customer walks in and says, "Hey, can you print this picture I took of my baby?" Okay, absolutely. So you go over, you're a printer, and you walk over and you pull the picture up and you hit print. And the customer goes, "Oh my God, this is an ugly baby. I'm not paying for this." "Well, ma'am, it's your baby." We can't fix the baby. We can't fix, you know, the fact that you're ugly too. We can't fix. So anyway, that's a perfect example of watching someone toil, where the output is perceived as an inexpensive product by the consumer, and then the consumer says it's not right, but it's not worth it because of what the consumer put in. So the person say, you know what, forget it, I'm not doing it anymore. It's not worth it. It's not worth the time to take from the consumer the picture of the baby and then the consumer sit back and say, this is an ugly baby. It's just not worth the time. So she said, no more. I'm done. And that's a beautiful thing. And sometimes you can say, no more, I'm done. And you know where you can take your ugly baby photos? You can take them to sandhill.sohooffice.com. They'll print them for you. But if you say that's an ugly baby and I don't want to pay, you still got to pay. Because it was printed. They did what you asked them to do. And they will do what you ask them to do. Sandhill.sohooffice.com is a fantastic group of people out to help you get the best that you possibly can. Now, you know before you walk into anywhere and want to print some if you've got an ugly baby. So don't go complaining to them. But if you are tired of the toil and the toil and the toil and you're ready to break out, you're ready to be your own boss, you can do it a lot faster, a lot better, a lot quicker by going to sandhill.sohooffice.com and getting them to help you. Getting them to, they can print for you. Like I said, they can print. They can do way more than print. They can design. They can create. They can build. Lots of things. So be sure you pay attention. Do things right, and you visit sandhill.sohooffice.com. You send them. All you have to do is upload your print jobs. They'll print them for you. All you have to do is send them your ideas. Go in and talk to them. You can go in and talk to them. Call them up on the phone. Say, I'd like a business card. I know for a fact, a gentleman came in today, said, I need a business card. Never had one. What do? I tow. How do you tell people you tow? I just tell them. Wouldn't it be nice if they had your number on a card they could put near so they could call you when they need towing? Yes. Good stuff. Good stuff at sandhill.sohooffice.com. All right. You are listening to the Jack Hatfield Show, formerly Fix the Family, Fix America, but this opener is so awesome, we can't stop using it.
Welcome to the Fix the Family, Fix America Radio Show.
Hey, folks. It's time for the show.
Welcome.
Now, here's your host for all this craziness, Jack Hatfield.
Love it. You can be everything. You just heard Adele Omani's Magnificent and Magic Minute. Magic stuff. Let's look at this. People, let's look at this. Tylenol's in the news again. Have you heard of that? I'm sure you have. Tylenol has been getting all up in there. Guess what? Tylenol, or the government now, remember, if you were a part of my tweeting this week, the government has decided that you are too stupid to handle giving your toddler Tylenol. acetaminophen. Why is that? Why is that? Because they have demanded that acetaminophen users and drugs, okay, remove the toddler dosage off the package. So now, ladies and gentlemen, you go and you buy your children's acetaminophen. Right? And you look on the back and it says, children's over the age of 50, give them half a teaspoon. And you're going to go, what? My kid's 2. Well, the toddler dosage has been removed. So now you're going to go, well, why is this children's acetaminophen when it's only for people over 50? It's because you're too stupid. What was happening, ladies and gentlemen, is that people were giving acetaminophen containing products to their kids over and over and over, not knowing that acetaminophen was in, you know, cough medicine B, sinus medication A, children's acetaminophen Q. So they would just give their kids all this stuff, and then suddenly, you know, their liver quit. But here's the other problem. Tylenol's now linked, acetaminophen's now linked. Did you know that acetaminophen is known as paracetamol in Europe? And I have to bring that up because Adele listens to the show and she'd be going, what is he talking about? Acetaminophen sounds like he's saying something hilarious. Anyway, here's the problem. Acetaminophen and paracetamol have now been shown to have a slight increased risk in blood cancer. There's someone thirsty in the studio. Extremely thirsty. I mean, really. Okay. I mean, bowls removing. Goodness. All right, anyway, so this was another twist to the evidence linking cancer and painkillers. What? That's right. That's right. Acetaminophen has been shown to increase the risk of certain cancers, but now they're finding out that it can be increased in risk of blood cancer as well. So not only has it been found to hurt your liver, asthma, eczema, what else has it been attributed to? Lymphoma, arthritis. Lots of things. Well, here's how they found it out. They took 65,000 older men and women. I don't know what that means. I guess that's because there's no toddlers using. Oh, my. Anyway, 65,000 older men and women were asked, have you ever used painkillers in the past 10 years? Okay. And they made sure that no one had any cancer at all. That was nice of them. All 65,000 of them, we made sure you didn't have any cancer. Well, over 6 years, 577 of them developed a cancer involving blood cells. Okay, that would be lymphoma, myelodysplastic syndrome. Okay. More than 9% of those 577 who developed those cancers used high amounts of acetaminophen. After accounting for things like age, I thought they were all older. pretty much saying they were all, never mind. After accounting for age, arthritis, and a family history of these blood cancers, chronic acetaminophen users had nearly twice the risk of developing the disease. That's right, twice the risk. The study says that if you use acetaminophen 4 times a week for 4 years, your risk will rise to about 2%. No other painkiller, including aspirin and ibuprofen, were tied to the risk of blood cancers, just so you know. So Advil today was very excited, and Bayer, knowing and regarding the safety of aspirin and salicylic acid for the last 900 million years, pretty much said, we knew this. Now, McNeil Consumer Healthcare, the Johnson & Johnson subsidiary that created and sells Tylenol, did not respond for a request to comment. What they basically said at the end of this is, Tylenol, we are not really sure that that's the cause. We just wanted to highlight it, and that long-term use of any over-the-counter drug may have adverse effects. Okay, notice that they said long-term use of any over-the-counter drug, whereas last week we spoke about how when you have like high blood pressure and the doctor gives you a high blood pressure pill and you go in after 2 months and your blood pressure is normal and you go, well, I don't have to take this pill anymore, and they look at you and go, oh, God, yeah, you still got to take that. It's the reason you have low blood pressure. What isn't the long-term use of any drug might have adverse effects? Couldn't we say now? No. These people who did this study said long-term use of any over-the-counter drug. Not those doctor drugs. Not those special ones. No, those are completely different. That's what's amazing about the health today, healthcare today, is they do a study. They tell you that stuff you're buying that has been given for 20 million years is killing you. But all this new stuff that we just came out with, it's all good. And you can take it for a million years. Okay? Now, here's another amazing thing about Tylenol. A woman went to a hospital, and she said, I got pains in my chest. Or in the immortal words of George Lopez, I have a pain in my chest. For those of you who have never heard George Lopez, he's talking about when the father of the child goes and tells the child to please go tell the mom that he has a pain in his chest. And the child cannot remember what she was supposed to say by the time she runs out to mom, who's talking to the neighbor at the fence. And the kid goes out and goes, Mama, Mama, Mama! And mom turns around, hang on a second, just hang on. And then mom finishes, of course, and then looks back at the child, what do you want? And she goes, Daddy needs you. Well, tell him I'm talking right now. Oh, okay. So the kid runs back in, tells Daddy, Daddy, Mommy says, she's talking right now. No, no, you need to go tell her I have a pain in my chest and I can't breathe. This is George Lopez. I can't breathe. He's actually saying that. She goes, oh, okay. Kid runs out to mom. Mama goes, oh, hang on now. I'm still talking. All right, what do you want? Daddy said he can't breathe. Well, tell him to take deep breaths. I'll be in a minute. So the kid runs back in and says, Daddy, you need to take deep breaths. Anyway, I can't breathe. Sorry. This is a funny opening to a tragic story. This lady goes into the hospital. I have to stop laughing before I do this, I'm pretty sure. Lady goes into the hospital and says she has pain and she can't breathe. she was suffering breathing difficulties. I'll tell you what, we'll go into this is a tragic story. You should not be laughing at this. There are people, this is not right. This is bringing up more healthcare issues. That's what I'm pointing out here. There's no joke at the end of this article. It's not like... Oh, my. Okay, well, let's go into love handles. A lot of people don't like love handles, but what we're finding out is they could be good for you. What? Love handles could be good for you. The article goes on to say, fact. Don't you just hate it? How it starts. I swear to God, the article starts that way. Fat. Don't you just hate it? See, in the South, you can just see this guy in overalls coming across your yard. And let's say your yard hadn't been mowed in a while. All right? And he's coming across the yard. He pulls and grabs a piece of weed, sticks it in his craw. For those of you who don't know what that is, that's his mouth. Sticks it in his crawl. And he keeps on walking. And he goes, weeds! Don't you just hate them? This article starts off that same way. I see this, except he's not wearing overalls. He's wearing a doctor suit, right? And he's coming across your lawn. And he looks at you and he goes, fat! Don't you just hate it? But it's a surefire route to diabetes, heart disease, and a host of other disorders. There you go. Remember last week we spoke about a group of researchers warning that you're overweight in middle age, your risk of developing Alzheimer's disease rises by 80%. Did you know that? So middle age, 40, if you are fat... You will not remember that you're fat very soon. That's what I read from that. Wait a minute, that's bad, is it? That's anyway. And while there's no doubt that being obese can be dangerous, obviously, just like that mom that was 800 pounds, kids crawled on her. They could fall off. Some experts are saying being overweight is not all bad news, all right? Rather than seeing fat cells as the enemy, the new thinking is that fat actually plays a key role in regulating vital energy supplies and even helping the immune system. What? What are you talking about? We have been ingrained to think that if you're not a size zero and I can see your spine from the front, you are a fat bastard, and you need to stop being so lazy, right? That's what we've been ingrained. Oh, and you can't eat fat. Mm-mm. You need to stay skinny and not eat any fat. That's what we've been ingrained with. Well, here's what we're finding out. Fat, it helps fight infections. The fat we're so eager to banish, stored in cells, contains a crucial component of the body's infection-fighting arsenal. Okay? Battling infection uses up a lot of energy. Do you notice that when larger people go in the hospital, suddenly they come out a little less large? It's because hospital food is disgusting. No, not really. It actually is because they... Fighting an infection uses up a lot of energy. I know two hospital cooks right now going crazy. They act as the power station of the body. Fat cells surround the main immune centers of the body called the lymph nodes, located in your neck, armpits, and groin. In addition to this, fat cells can sense a bacterial or viral attack. And they join the fight by producing proteins that cause inflammation, which kills off infection. That's right, inflammation. Do you see that? So if you have a chronic infection that constantly needs energy, more fat cells grow around the lymph gland, causing odd-looking humps. So the bottom line is you need some fat to stay well. Excessive amount of fats don't necessarily mean you're going to develop chronic diseases, because 20% of all overweight or obese people have no sign of metabolic problems, right? They have low cholesterol, good blood sugar, healthy blood pressure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How can this be? If you're fat, you have to be unhealthy, right? Well, that's because some people store fat differently. And some people naturally have more fat cells than others. And these cells have more storage capacity. And chronic illnesses occur when the amount of fat in the body overwhelms our fat storage facility. Meaning there are multiple sizes of humans. Okay? If there is no more fat storage space available, you've used up what your body genetically is predisposed to, ladies and gentlemen, the level of fatty acids in the bloodstream starts to rise too high, and some are pushed into inappropriate storage, like in the organs, like the liver and pancreas and heart, and other places not designed for long-term fat storage. And that fat can trigger, the immune reaction, causing inflammation and other direct damaging responses. Being able to predict who has broken their barrier of fat storage could give an early warning of disease. All right, so why did we even talk about love handles being lifesavers? Well, I on this show way a long time ago, we pointed out that a person was saved by a beer gut. He was stabbed and no organs were harmed. A person was saved with love handles. He was shot. No organs were harmed. But then a person was hit by a rock from a lawnmower in the head and died, which shows fatheads are obviously much more safer. We call them water jug heads, by the way. People with big heads. That's what we call them. In fact, we know a guy that we have nicknamed Water Jug Head. Anyway, love handles could be lifesavers. Having a little bit of padding in your 40s and 50s can actually help you live longer. Just a little bit of padding. Dietitians would like to see people in their 40s and 50s slightly overweight than underweight, because if you're underweight, you can have reserved for older age to keep you alive longer. A bit plump can increase bone density as well, ladies and gentlemen, meaning your bones have to carry the extra load, so it can actually help, particularly in older women. And fat can act as a reserve of vitamins and minerals, helping to counter malnutrition in later years. It also acts as a layer of insulation for the major organs during falls or accidents. Okay, a Japanese study of over 600 centenarians, those are people that live over 100, found that many of those who made it to 100 were quite chubby in their 50s. I have to start eating. I do not eat enough. That is a true fact. That is a fact. I can't eat enough. I sit there with my food and physically cannot go into my body. I'm just saying. And also, here's something really, 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 really going to blow your mind. I mean, blow your mind. Fat helps you lose weight. That's right. Fat helps you lose weight. Exercise is obviously the way to tackle excess body fat. Also, not eating as much, I'm just saying. But some researchers believe there's a cheat's way out. There are two types of fat in the body. They have found white fat and brown fat. White fat is responsible for our middle age spread, and that type is particularly hard to shift from our bellies and bottoms. However, brown fat actually helps us lose weight. Does brown fat taste like chocolate milk? It's just a question. When triggered by cold temperatures, brown fat actually burns calories. When you're freezing, it burns calories. Unlike white fat, which stores them. 50 grams of brown fat can burn around 500 calories a day. Babies! Brown fat. And scientists thought we lost it as we grew up. Now they discovered some people retain it. It's been found in half of the people aged 23 to 35, and the deposits decline with age, which that is the reasons why older people put on the white fat weight more easily. Okay? John Hopkins University just found out a new way to create brown fat, in rats at least, by switching off certain chemical messengers in the brain. In the meantime, go for the low-tech green option for all you people worried about that. Turn down the central heat and air and don't wear anything and freeze. Shiver. You will burn fat. It's being unfit that's unhealthy, not fat. The dangers of obesity has been highly exaggerated. But there are fat but fit people. However, there's still a greater risk of cancer. Isn't that a great way to end that whole thing? Well, there you have it. Now, we talk about an awful lot of stuff on this show. The show is the Jack Hatfield Show. And Jack Hatfield formed Fix the Family, Fix America. And he does seminars and discussions and all kind of stuff all across the country. He does them about positive fathering. And why am I talking about myself in the third person? I do about positive fathering, make a difference in mothering, pull through parenting, and finally reveal your success. We also talk about disease and the diet. We do a bunch of stuff. I talk about IT stuff. I talk about how nerds have absolutely no customer service skills and how we can help them. But anyway, we talk about a lot about fat on this show and how the whole you can't eat fat, don't eat fat, fat's bad, no fat, no fat. Right? Well, here's a little secret. A lot of the stars are currently drinking stuff to keep themselves slim and energized. That stuff that they're drinking is coconut water. Okay. ~600% jump in sales in just 12 weeks. In fact, one famous star just bought a company. Madonna just bought the company Vita Coco. Can you believe that? So, coconut water being thinner in consistency than the sweeter milk, and it only has 39 calories in 100 milliliter serving, just a trace of fat. It's a good source of vitamin C, B, protein, calcium, iron, manganese, magnesium, and zinc. Also, with a whole other another group of nutrients called cytokinins that can actually play a role in human health, slowing age and lowering the risk of cancer. Now, why did coconut water go out in favor on this planet, ladies and gentlemen? Coconut water used to be everywhere. Coconut everything used to be everywhere until someone said saturated fat is bad, and everyone said, oh, no. But now you're learning coconut fat is a fat that your body needs, desires, and uses to actually clean out your arteries. It's an incredible thing. It's the only oil I use. It contains high levels of lauric acid, which the body uses to make monolaurin, a disease-fighting fatty acid derivative. Lauric acid has antifungal, antibacterial, and antiviral properties that protect the body against various infections and boost the immune system. All right, coconut water helps reduce the risk of cardiac disease, improve circulation, regulate digestion, and ease stomach pain. It is so similar to the composition of blood plasma, coconut water has actually been used as intravenous drips in world wars. If you drink too much, you might have to poop. Could have a laxative effect if you drink a lot. So there you go, the coconut secret, getting out slowly. But we've been talking about it on this show for a very, very, very long time. So if coconut water is so good for you, what would be a way that you could stay from aging? What are the best ways to turn back Father Time? Well, there is a top 10 we could look into. Let's look into these and see which ones are true, which ones aren't, which ones we can listen to, and which ones we can't, ladies and gentlemen. Number one, thou shalt know stress-killing tools. In all reality, this is one stress killer for me, being on the show. There is a lot of stress to create for this to create all the stuff for this show and get it ready and be involved and get in the studio and make it all happen. But as I talk and go through the feelings and news that we are beating back the lies and misinformation, I relieve some stress. But stress can sacrifice more than a single night's sleep. It's been linked to an increased risk of everything from eczema to heart disease to depression. So what's the big secret to relieve stress? Be flexible when things don't go your way and take time out before you reach a breaking point. No matter how tightly wound you are, 20 minutes with a book, brief walk, or even some deep breathing can help release excess tension. I don't know about you, but if I'm a little stressed, I keep thinking about the situation. A book would not assist me at all. Music is what I could turn to. Anti-aging foods, that's right. Lycopene in fresh tomatoes, lutein in leafy greens, beta-carotene in yams, vitamin C in citrus, pink salmon with omega-3 fatty acids. Good stuff. Vary your diet. Very important. Berries. Now, since this is an anti-aging top 10, some of these are cosmetic, where it says whiten your teeth. I don't think that's vital to your health. You might want to do it to look good. Exercise regularly. This is vital to your health. 30 minutes three times a week can lower blood pressure, keep cholesterol in check, stave off certain types of cancer, boost testosterone production. Full night's sleep. Very, very important. Just talking about sleep made me yawn. You see that? Another cosmetic is remove excess hair. That's very crucial for men. Super crucial for women, I would think. But men, you have excess hair too that you need to remove. Dress your age. These are, again, cosmetic. Dress your age. All right? Nothing ages you faster than shopping in your kid's closet or dipping into your grandpa's stash of sweaters. Of course, thou shalt not smoke. And then number 10, the one that should not be true, thou shalt wear sunscreen, totally irrelevant. We talk about the sun here all the time. All right, here's some fun stuff. Seven secretly unhealthy foods. Okay? Secretly unhealthy foods, meaning they kind of trick you. Energy bar. With some vitamins in it. Granola. Most granola has too much sugar and very little fiber. Well, that's if you buy the cheaper kind. You can find healthy granola, ladies and gentlemen. Smoothies. They're saying smoothies are bad because they contain a lot of calories. Calories are not important when you're going for health. Any of the vitamin water, sports waters, and other sweetened beverages, of course, that is not healthy items. Fat-free foods, we talk about that all of the time here. Fat-free foods are not important and not good for you. Salads. Why would salads be bad? The salad itself is not bad. It's those 800 soy calories you place on top. Wraps. Get this, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of flatbread wraps and flour tortillas have as many calories as the bread. Since we're talking about obesity, do cooking shows make you fat? A lot of people are watching cooking shows right now. Cooking shows are very popular. However, New York dietitian Tanya Zuckerbrot says, while many popular cooking shows feature foods and recipes that are high in fat and calories, it's not mean that they're worsening our nation's obesity problem. What they're doing is they're cultivating better and for customers. TV chefs are inspiring legions of people who previously wouldn't dare step in the kitchen, and more folks are opting for a home-cooked meal instead of fast food. So that would be better. Better. Restaurants are going to use the cheapest, most possible way to get the flavor, while you at home can get that same flavor better and healthier. So, all of this cooking show that people are worried about and watching about is creating what's called intelligent cookers. Intelligent moms and dads that are able to go out and say, you know what? I saw Paula Deen cook with coconut oil and cook this thing. And I'm going to try it. And that beats you going to McDonald's. So cooking shows do not and are not causing fat. They're actually causing informed people. And remember, ignorance has killed more people and caused more problems than all calamities, wars, hurricanes, and disease on this planet. Ignorance. And that's why we're here. And while we are changing the name of the show and soon to be changing the way the show works and all kinds of other things, we're getting growing bigger, better, faster, longer, make bigger strides. We're doing everything more awesome. We're just going to stay true to our roots, and our roots are we are about fixing family, fixing America. But this will be soon the Jack Hatfield Show, mainly because my name is Jack Hatfield. And calling it the Bill Smith Show is kind of weird. Even though I might do that. I might call it the Bill Smith Show with your host, Jack Hatfield. No, I don't think I'm going to do that. It's funny, though. It's funny. Pretty funny. So to befriend me on the Facebook, all right, befriend me on the Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/TheJackHatfield. And to follow the tweets, we really appreciate it. You go to twitter.com/JackHatfield. It'd be great to see you there. Remember, last week we interviewed a young girl trying to save a life of her 7-year-old daughter. You can follow and help her right now by going to earlyjourneyfoundation.org/Aliyah, A-L-Y-A-H. And on the right-hand side of that page is CODA donations, Children's Organ Transplant Association, where she's trying to raise $100,000. Now, forget about your personal economy for a minute and help this lady's personal economy out so that she can get the beneficial treatment that her daughter needs for Fanconi anemia. It's where her bone marrow is incapable of making the proper ratio and amounts of the 3 types of blood cells that we have, the white blood cells, the red blood cells, and platelets. So if we can get her a bone marrow transplant, that could possibly go a long way to having her have no issues for the rest of her life. So it's absolutely vital that you go check that out. earlyjourneyfoundation.org/Aliyah, A-L-Y-A-H. And on the right-hand side, you hit that CODA donation. Back to the more tragic situation that we were talking about. A woman went to the hospital and said she was in pain. She was suffering breathing difficulties. She was given... a pain pill, 2 codeine pills, and sent home. All right, she arrived by ambulance, okay, at 5 p.m. with abdominal pain, and the nurse gave her 2 codeine pills and sent her home. Then 10 o'clock, 5 hours later, she arrived by ambulance again. And the nurse phoned on-call doctor, Brianda, who decided not to attend to examine her. That's right. The doctor said, give her a Demerol injection to relieve her pain. 40 minutes after her Demerol injection, she was released from the hospital again. 10 minutes after arriving home from the hospital, she passed. So the lady calls the ambulance. She's suffering pain and breathing difficulties. Ambulance takes her in. The first nurse gives her some pain pills, tells her to go on home. Calls the ambulance 5 hours later, comes back in. The doctor was called finally, and the doctor says, I give her a Demerol injection. It's more pain-killing to relieve her pain, and sent her home 40 minutes later. She then died at her house from an enlarged heart. So the lady comes in when she can't breathe and her heart hurts. She gets a pain shot and told to go on. That happened in the UK, ladies and gentlemen. The hospital that occurred at said that they are going to do an assessment and have pain management policies at the hospital be reviewed. And minor changes have been made. Now, I don't know about you, but over in the UK, this happens at an alarming pace. So, at what point do you have to realize there's no way to know the pain tolerance of a person? No way to know. I mean, take me for instance. I've been in pain for the last year, but it hasn't pushed me enough It's annoying, but it hasn't pushed me enough to fret over it. So back to obesity, ladies and gentlemen. How is the restaurant tricking you into ordering what they want you to eat? Oh, what? How can a restaurant trick me to order what I want to eat? Well, they can. They use engineering to steer you to order the high-profit items. That's right. Here's some common menu ploys of your favorite restaurant. The first is show. You are more likely, the studies have shown, people are more likely to order the first item on a list in a given section of the menu, such as the chicken or beef section. So that's where the restaurant placed the most profitable dish of that type. Menu Siberia, unprofitable dishes, on the other hand, tend to get banished to a corner that's less noticeable. Visual aids. Many menus box off something they want to promote because if you draw a line around it, people will order it. Photos also sell dishes. How many people have been to the IHOP and look at their menu? There are a photo of everything. Package deals. Even if only a small percentage of McDonald's customers spend extra dollars on a meal package, that translates to millions in additional revenue. Dollar sign avoidance. Some menus avoid dollar signs and decimals, keeping money abstract, making spending less threatening. Some don't even have the prices on it at all. The small plate, large plate conundrum. A restaurant may offer two sides of the same dish. That price differential is almost pure profit. An ingredient embroidery. Ooh. If a menu makes each ingredient sound ultra special, it will sell better, of course. Of course it does. So you've got the stars of a restaurant. I mean, the stars on a menu item. You've got popular items with high profit margins, such as penne pasta with vodka sauce. You got plow horses, popular but less profitable items such as steak. You got the puzzlers, less popular high profit items like sweetbread. And then you've got dogs, less popular items with low profit margins. So the menu is a strategy to steer you toward the stars and puzzlers, which the restaurant will make most of its profit from. So now you know. So other tricks of the restaurant trade also include passing off inexpensive fish, such as pollock, as something more expensive like cod, or Maryland-style crab cakes made from crab that came from Vietnam in a farm raised instead of ones that actually came from Maryland. So you need to know what you're making. And so we talked about cooking shows getting you educated, and you can cook at home. You can do this. We are so glad that you listened in to today's show. We didn't get to cover everything we talked about. We didn't talk about the insane baby names that some people give each other. I mean, some parents giving their kids, like Alicia Silverstone's kid is named Bear Blue. Others, Bronx, Mowgli. Goodness. Tony Braxton has Diesel and Denim. What are they doing? And, of course, none is as bad as Gwen and Gavin's Zuma Nesta Rock. Zuma Nesta Rock. Can you imagine that kid? Zuma Nesta. My name is Zuma Nesta Rock. Zuma Nesta Rock. Zuma Nesta Rock. If you're taking heart attack drugs, they are most effective at bedtime. I had to squeeze that in because that could help you not die. And I want to help you not die every time I possibly can. The researchers looked at all the benefits of any ACE inhibitors. And the best time to take them is right before bed. Gives the drugs reducing the level of the hormone that could cause the heart to enlarge and cause problems. So that hormone released, preventing that hormone to prevent the heart from enlarging is more effective at night. And that correlates with the biological rhythm of the hormone. So that is very, very crucial. So do that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the brand new Jack Hatfield Show. Everything's soon going to be brand new, but we will continue to do all the stuff that we need to do. And follow us on the Facebook /TheJackHatfield and the Twitter at twitter.com/JackHatfield. And, of course, send me an email, jhatfield, Natural Success Principles. Anytime you have a question, greatly appreciate it. Do your work. Go home. Kiss your significant other. Spend time with your children. You never know when they'll be taken away because you're going to die. And have a libation or two on me. Have a great evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Jack Hatfield Show.